Welcome to The Ship Show. If you don't know why we call it that, you're about to find out. Jeff Newbarth is your host.
Happy Thursday, everybody. Even though someone wrote Tuesday on the format. Welcome to The Ship Show. Jeff Finley, and joined by one of our all-time favorite guests to have on the show. You've done one or two of these with us before, Vince, haven't you?
Yeah, that's true.
This is Vince Simons, who is a longtime employee of the golf plant where we're currently sitting in Chicopee, Mass. Not always with Callaway, because you were with Spalding. Your father was with Spalding.
That's correct.
And so what is the total amount of years that someone from your family has worked for this golf ball making facility?
That's a good question. So 34 for me and 48 for my dad. I can't do that math this quickly.
34 plus 48. Yeah. The first person who emails us the correct response at shipshow@callawaygolf.com.
Now you just gave
the answer. I was going to give something away.
Well,
now
we're not. Y'all can
thank
anyway.
Jason. Well, I got a calculator on my phone. I would have easily looked it up. But the email to get us on is shipshow@callawaygolf.com, shipshow, or call us 760-804-GOLF. We will get to some of your listener emails a little bit later in the show. So we are here in Chicopee, Massachusetts. We're shooting some content. We really can't tell you what we're doing because it's not for public yet. All I can tell you is it's pretty cool. But I always love coming up here because I get inspired by the people. So you included in this. So talk a little bit about, not you, Finley, you don't inspire. But talk a little bit about, you know, you're not alone. I guess the 82 years you probably are alone in. Maybe Dan Gomez beat you on that one. But there's a lot of people who've been here a lot of years.
Yeah, there's several families that have had even three generations out there. So, 82 years, although it sounds like a lot, it's not.
It is a lot.
It is a lot. Yeah, right. It's not that uncommon here.
That's crazy. I mean, one of the things to me every time I come here is exactly that of seeing kind of the passion for people here and how much they strive to make the best stuff that they can every single day.
Yeah, well, if you're involved in manufacturing, which obviously we are, whether you're making golf balls or widgets or what have you, it's always more fun to make golf balls.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
particularly if you have a passion for the sport and a passion for manufacturing, a passion for the business of golf, it's just a lot of fun. And so once people get hooked on that, it's pretty difficult to wean yourself from it.
Now, I can tell you one thing I don't have a passion for here. Well, there's a couple things I don't have a passion for that are here, mostly the New England sports teams.
Yeah.
I did want to go over the fact that in the last 2 weeks, the Miami Dolphins 2-0, the New England Patriots 0-1. Care to comment?
Well, that's a fluke, right? You ran into a buzzsaw in Baltimore, right?
Just saying.
So that's it. Was 72 Dolphins, the last team to go undefeated.
Yeah, so. And that's exciting. We got to pop the champagne this week and celebrate our perfection. I didn't get my text from Goral. He normally texts me to congratulate me when the last team loses. Normally it's his team. The other thing I don't like about this is the weather. I woke up this morning pre-sunrise and my phone said 18 degrees. My car said significantly colder. What is going on with this weather here?
Yeah, here you go. It's all-time low temperature. So you're coming in at the right time. All-time. Since the history of recording weather in New England, it's the coldest November, whatever.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
Well,
perfect
time for us to be here.
Yeah. Seriously, did we plan this? The one thing I will say is the sunset yesterday was magnificent. It was one of the cooler ones. We actually threw the drone up. The sunset was so good and tried to capture a little bit of it. It's just, you know, today it's crystal clear and cold. Yesterday was a little cloudy. I think that served as insulation, right, which kept it a little bit warmer?
That's correct. Yeah. Radiational cooling, I think they call it. Yeah.
Well, you know, something like that. What can we talk about that's going on in the plant? I think it's well known that Callaway has invested significant money and resources to sort of modernize this manufacturing facility. What are we legally allowed to say?
Well, over the past 3 years or so, we've invested north of $40 million in the plant, and it's been aimed at a couple of different things, right? As our market share grew, we frankly just needed to have more machinery from a capacity perspective, particularly with respect to TruViz and Triple Track for the decoration side of the business. But we also knew as far back as, you know, 4 or 5 years ago that in order for us to meaningfully compete, we need to improve our capabilities and to keep up with the marketplace demands and to kind of keep up with the ideas that are coming out of R&D. So we've been investing in new equipment that will expand our capabilities so that we can make a more consistent, better product.
Yeah, we've been on this journey for a little while now. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if as we started this, you know, it was a lot about okay, how are we going to keep up with the demand that we have?
Correct.
But it quickly turned to how are we ensuring that we're making, you know, the highest performing products for sure that, that R&D can come up with, but also with the most quality and consistency. And, you know, we've heard a lot about that. And certainly for us, I think one of the things that's so important to what you all do here every day is delivering on all of those objectives and working with the R&D team on the products and making sure that we can deliver more performance for golfers all around the world.
That's correct. We're trying to always push the design and performance envelope to deliver products that perform for the best players in the world, as well as for skilled amateurs, all the way down to you know, the retiree playing their weekly game out at the Villages. So we're trying to target and satisfy all those golfers with the most consistent high performing products we can possibly deliver.
Yeah.
So that's been the entire motivation behind this whole 3-year, 4-year, mm-hmm. 5-year capital expansion here, and we're very close to finishing that up right now. We've got most of it in play. But we're really close to kind of putting the final bow on it and moving in the direction that we want.
Yeah, and I think that's what's going to be exciting for you guys listening, you know, to the consumer is the ball may look the same to you, but it's not going to be the same. You know, that's the thing, you know, I mean, outside your office, there's a conference room across the hall where there's golf balls dating all the way back to, what, the 1800s?
Correct.
That are in there. And yeah, they're all round spheres, and at some point they kind of got, you know, colored, and at some point they kind of, you know, have dimple patterns that are recognizable. But it's the inside, right, that's sort of the secret to the sauce. And without giving anything away, because we tend to not – Sean Toulon tends to give stuff away on this podcast early before you announce it. But he luckily – unfortunately for you listeners, he's not here today to give it all away. But things are changing in terms of sort of, like you said, quality and consistency with this investment. But what ultimately – like, if you could give someone a crystal ball and look ahead 6 months, what do you think people are going to be saying about what we're doing today?
I think once we get the message out and show through product performance that people will understand that this has been a radical transformation in Callaway's golf ball business and the way that we manufacture golf balls. We are investing in equipment that is second to none across the globe. We've spent the better part of 3 years traveling several different continents, running pilots and running evaluations with different equipment, and we've got the full backing of our senior management, particularly Chip Brewer and our board, to invest. And so I think what you will see is better performing product, more consistent performing product, from, like you said, from every single layer throughout the golf ball, from the core formulations to the core compounding to the intermediate layers to the inspection process to the decorating and finishing. Every single part of the process has been invested in, and we're just super excited to get it rolling.
Yeah, and that's one thing. So there's one piece of equipment, I'm not going to say what it is, that to me it kind of looked like a little bit of IKEA surgery that had to be done. And so I asked one of the engineers, I'm like, can I look at the manual on this thing? And he kind of laughed. And he said, manuals, and kind of pointed to a box. And it was well over thousands of pages of material. And I'm thinking back to college. I had some friends who were engineers, who were studying engineering, who went on to engineering careers. And it took like 8 of us to try to put together an IKEA dresser. I can't fathom what it takes to put some of this stuff together. Like, what's been the biggest challenge over the last 6 months that you guys have had to sort of overcome?
I think that's a really good question. It's been the balance of addressing all of these capital projects, which are significant and substantial, as you've seen, while we're continuing to produce product. Because our market shares continue to grow, we still have demand for product globally, we're launching new products, so all of those
things...
At some point we are.
So all of those things are happening simultaneously, and we only have so many resources available to us. So it's all about managing the priorities and managing the resources so that we can accomplish supporting the business while we're investing in the business.
So one of the things, Vince, that I think is always super interesting for people to kind of get the scope of what happens here is to talk a little bit about, like, the numbers. So I think to start for me, it's, you know, average tenure. We talked about a little earlier on, you know, how long you've been here. But even with all the new folks we've had here, what's the average tenure?
It's a little bit over 20 years now, but it's shifting, right?
Yeah.
To talk about statistics, it's almost like two different populations, right? We've got one population that is, you know, 25 years of, on average, and the other population is 3 to 4 years on average.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we've grown the workforce significantly over the last few years as our market share has grown, which is a great thing. I mean, it's the best part of this job is to give somebody an opportunity. And once people realize the opportunity they have in front of them, those that latch onto it can really make something of it.
Yeah.
All right. So one of the things I wanted to ask you about, because I always do this, I was telling this to Jason, is when I walk around, so yesterday I did over 6 miles of walking around this facility. And it's like infectious. You just kind of want to go see everything. Is I always look at all the different manufacturing jobs and say, like, oh, that would be kind of fun to do, or that one, no, that one I definitely don't want to do. You've probably done a little bit of everything. What would if you would have, if they said, hey, we're going to do kind of trading places for a week, and there's one spot on this manufacturing floor you'd want to get out there and get your hands dirty and do, what would it be?
I would be at the front end. It would be on the rubber compounding side.
Yeah.
Yeah, where it all starts.
Yeah, I kind of with you. I don't think I would enjoy the first part of that because I see how hard those guys work, and I don't have that in me. And I would get
all know that.
Yeah, and I would get quite frankly, there's also some aspects of that involve a little bit of heights. And as you know, I'm terrified of heights.
Okay,
I had to overcome that a little bit this week, but so far I'm staying on the ground. But I think the thing I would love doing is some of the quality, some of the QC checking. I think that'd be, like, really fun. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, like, I think it'd be kind of interesting.
We had Ian out there doing some this morning.
It's amazing. Ian Barrett, if you're looking, he's looking for something to do, clearly, for the next couple of days while he's here. Put him to work. Let's see if he can accomplish something in the manufacturing end.
Yeah, so what time? He's probably on break now.
Right? He could be on break. He would have had to start to actually have earned the break.
But right.
It could be.
Well, I must say.
I want to ask you the same question. What would you want to do?
I would want to have Vince's job.
Oh, really?
That's not, that's not on the line.
No, yeah. On the line, yeah. I think for me, I just am mesmerized by watching Truvis and Triple Track happen.
Yeah.
So I would say it would probably be that because it is
the setup function and the decorating department.
Yeah, it's so cool to see that being done. And, you know, that's probably the one area I think as people go through here and I've been around here with enough people now that they're always amazed at what actually goes into making a golf ball, right? It's one of those things you take for granted when you go out to play golf, you pull another ball out of a sleeve. You don't really have that knowledge of what goes behind the scenes into doing that.
It's funny you mention that because, you know, obviously we recruit for engineers and technicians from – you know, all over the world, all over the United States, we recruit nationally. And every time we bring an engineer in here that has had experience, say, in rubber or plastics processing or machine design, invariably they say, I had no idea how complex it is to make a golf ball. Because a golf ball needs to perform at the highest level. It needs to be durable. It's 100% cosmetic part. In an injection molding operation, for most part, if like for car parts or dashboard, they call it one-sided parts. You can hide the defects on the inside because when it's assembled, you don't see the inside. Yeah. But on a golf ball, you see the complete surface of the golf ball. And it's not only an aesthetic issue, it's also a performance issue. If the golf ball isn't molded correctly or finished correctly, the performance is affected because the aerodynamics are key, obviously, to how a golf ball flies. So it's a very, very demanding application for consumer products, and you need to do it at high volume and do it with high yields in order to make it economical. So it's a challenging thing to make.
In terms of volumes, how many golf balls are going through here every single day? How many are we making?
On a good day, 240,000. On an average day, 210,000. So we could do the math and count up how many we made. How many we made while we were talking.
But. Yeah.
Well, I mean, the good news is I don't think we've slowed down the process too much. I think, in fact, today Finley and I actually sped it up. We got someone fired up and we got some extra golf balls being made.
Good.
So
good.
Today could end up being a good day.
Could be a good day. Could be closer to the 240 number.
Yeah, unless Ian slows it down. Yeah. We'll have to try to keep him away from it. All right, Vince, we got a couple listener emails. Again, the email shipshow@callawaygolf.com. Lex always wants to hear from you. She checks this thing constantly. So, people, we need you to be emailing us. So, the first email we got is from John Stoltz. John is a member of the Losing Granddaddy team. for Team THP that we will be taking on in a couple weeks. By the way, I saw there was a whole section that was like rejected golf balls. I'm going to make sure the THP guys that those are the ones that they get to play too. Not that we need that. We could actually, you know what, Finley? We could probably beat some THPers if we use the rejected golf balls.
Wow.
Wow, that's bold.
Shots fired.
All right,
Vince got to experience the THPers a few years ago.
Yeah. Of those guys were here. Yeah. All right, so we've all seen the announcement about the $50 million investment in the ball plant. What is the one thing that Callaway is most excited about with this investment, and how will it make the ball that changed the ball better?
I think the thing we're most excited about is what we're about to deploy, and that's the front end. We've made a significant investment in how we compound rubber and process rubber. And so that's been a 3-year journey, mm-hmm. and we're at the final stages of qualification right now. So,
okay. And then one more from John is ChromeSoft X for Dummies. Explain the main difference. I'm assuming he wants the difference between a ChromeSoft and a ChromeSoft X golf ball.
I'll take a first stab, and Vince can add to it. I think, you know, the biggest thing you're going to notice with the X golf ball is that it's primarily geared towards the better player who also tends to be the higher head speed player. So at those higher head speeds with the firmer compression, you're going to have more ball speed, generally speaking, for that type of player. And the other big thing you're going to notice is a different kind of spin profile through the bag. So at that firmer compression, it's going to tend to have more spin in kind of what I would call the middle part of your bag, where, you know, the better player generally wants to control where how far their six iron goes a little bit more than, you know, guys like us, frankly, that
want to maximize.
We want to hit it a little farther.
Seriously.
So, you know, that's why, you know, I would play a Chrome Soft or an ERC Soft. I played a lot of this year. Whereas, you know, some of the more elite, better players would play that X golf ball, which is going to give them a little more speed on their driver at the higher speed, but it's also going to provide them a little more spin and control, kind of middle part of the bag. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, you did pretty good. Yeah. And I think it's also a feel preference, right?
Yeah.
Players in and around the green, some players want to feel a more muted golf ball mm-hmm. rather than a clickier feel. And so that's always just a personal preference. But for the most part, the constructions are engineered to optimize launch conditions through the bag, not just necessarily for the driver or the short irons, but through the bag. And like Jason said, Chrome Soft, the lower compression ball, is geared toward players with a softer, slower swing speed and want to maximize distance through there rather than distance control, per se.
Nice. All right, our next email is from our buddy Dave Blaylock. Dave started off the email kind of kissing up to Lex, hopefully trying to get this email to the top of the list. Good job, Dave. It worked. Suggesting you would be a good co-host for the Ship Show. Well, of course, Lex is always going to be a part of the Ship Show. The other thing is, the reason she doesn't do it full-time is because she is the co-host or one of the two hosts with Sarah on the Girls and Golf podcast. And if you didn't get a chance to listen to that one yesterday, I know it may be a little harder to find than some of the others, but just go to the YouTube page. There seems to be some type of
internal... I think it's going to be up on...
You know what we should do? Let's just put it in the Ship Show feed. Let's just make it easy for everybody.
I think it'll be up.
All right, let's just make sure it's
today
in the Ship Show feed. But otherwise, go to the YouTube page. Then you get to watch it, too, which is always great. There seem to be some technical difficulties that we're having, and we're going to get those fixed. All right, on to Chicopee. One question, one comment. Vince, this is a great one for you. The question is, if a golf ball is stored in its box at room temperature, well, we don't know what room temperature is, how long do its performance characteristics hold up? How long is the golf ball good for?
So I'll assume room temperature to be 72 degrees.
Well, then you're not in Chicopee, Mass.
But I'll tell you, we average 72. Some rooms are 52, some are 92, so come out right on 72.
Show me the 92 one. I'll go hang out there today. This is the warmest room I've been in all day, and I'm loving it.
It's funny that the boss has that.
Yeah.
So there's generally a trade-off. As golf balls age, they do firm up a little bit, and so we generally look at, you know, 3 months out, and it kind of plateaus at 3 months. But, you know, the answer to that question, in my opinion, is around 18 months.
18 months. All right. Yeah. I remember back in the day, one of our competitors did where they had the sealed pack. Mm-hmm. And they had that didn't really do anything. It just was...
Well, eventually you have to open it, right?
Exactly.
You can't reseal it.
So. Yeah, that was kind of the whole point. I thought that was kind of crazy. Yeah. The other thing is, Dave Blaylock is suggesting that you offer public tours of Chicopee. Let's get Benita on this. I'm sure there are many A15ers, that's what we call people who play all 15 and the golf ball, who would love to see where their ball is made and really our only physical touch point of Callaway on the East Coast.
Yeah, And we're actually really considering that strongly. So,
okay, should we just give out Benita's cell phone and people can just call for tours?
Sure.
She wouldn't like
yeah,
that.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to do that because Benita, as I learned today, runs this plant.
all
right. Couple more questions for you, Vince. Then I got a couple things for that Jason and I need to kind of run through. Is over, you know, so you talked about this kind of five-year sort of plan and to kind of get this innovation and this research. What's the craziest thing when you were traveling the world looking for, you know, ideas in different manufacturing? Like, what's the craziest thing you saw? Like, whether it was in an aerospace plant or in some other industry when you guys were out just kind of canvassing the world?
See if I, can...
like auto rubber maybe or something?
Yeah, so we've partnered with the world leader in rubber processing equipment, and the scale at which we're building right now, if you walk through there, it's pretty impressive. You
look
in and you look up, and it's a fairly impressive application. The machine that we are installing is probably one-tenth the size of the typical machine that is used to process automobile tires. So
wow.
If you just think about the scale at which consumer products are manufactured, like automobile tires, it's mind-boggling sometimes.
Wow.
So that's kind of the so in order to manufacture that equipment, you have, you know, large factories that are turning large pieces of metal, and it's pretty cool to see.
Wow. Yeah, that's I can't even fathom when I mean, we had to cut a hole in the building for ours
right. And
add on to the roof, so that's amazing. One thing for me, Vince, is how are we going to you know, better ensure that we do have, you know, the highest quality, most consistent, you know, product anywhere out there. What are we going to do going forward to really
don't give away
that?
All the answers though.
Okay.
Save some.
Okay. Well, you know, the thing is, you can't just necessarily, you know, spend your way to success.
Yep.
We're spending money. We're installing equipment that we believe is world-class. You cannot find any better equipment any place. But we're also developing our own equipment because, you know, I like to say that you can't just go on the internet and Google golf ball machine and then just order one. You just can't do
you
that.
You can't have
it's the one thing Amazon doesn't offer.
You can't do that. You have to find engineers and technicians that are capable of creative thinking and working with suppliers and building equipment that meets our needs. So at the end of the day, it's equipment, but it's also people, and we're investing in both.
Okay.
We have... equipment. We're investing equipment through every piece of the process, and inspection equipment to ensure that stuff going out the door meets our standards of excellence. But we're also investing in people. We're hiring on people. So, anybody that's listening, if you're a accomplished engineer and have a passion for manufacturing and the game and business of golf, send your resume in and we'll talk.
Seriously, Dave Blaylock, if you want to get a tour of the place, just come work here.
Correct.
Like, then you could impact and you get to know some of the secrets. Well, I can say this is my second time here in a couple months. It was way warmer last time. Like, it was 100 degrees when we were here last time, and now it's, like, freezing. So we're going to try to find, like, a nice temperate time to come back here because we've never teed it up together. So Finley and I don't do that often enough either, but we need to figure that time out.
Great,
but
great golf courses around here. Really
good. I can't wait. But I will say that every time I come in here, the lasting impression I take with me is the people, and that starts at the top. So that's a testament to you, to kind of the leaders of the team here. The culture here is phenomenal, and every single person, like, we're literally stringing a cable cam across your facility, and everybody's coming up to me being like, how can we help? How can we help? And I'm always super conscious because I always try to look before we take over an area to, like, kind of capture it. I always try to look at the little whiteboards and see, like, what the goal is and what they did yesterday and what they're going to do today. And I don't think there's too many times where we've knocked it down just by us being there.
Okay.
But everyone stops what they're doing to help us. So it's a testament to you guys that everyone knows how to do this and handle it in such a right way. And it's just awesome being here.
Well, if we miss our numbers at the end of the month, we'll blame it on you guys.
Yeah, totally. Well, just do what
we
all do.
That's usually what happens around the company. Yeah. Oh, it's marketing's fault.
We just tend to blame things directly on Jason Finley.
Right.
Vince, thanks for giving us a few minutes of your time. If you can stick around for a second, you got to help me grill Jason here. So I don't know if you've seen, but over the last couple of weeks, we're auditioning for a new co-host for me.
Oh, really?
My former co-host went off to pursue other interests, creative differences, whatever we want to call it. So, well, that's what they always say when, like bands break up, like when, you know, Richie Sambora leaves, you know, Bon Jovi. It's like, oh, creative differences.
He left. Good riddance.
All right. Uh-oh. As only Finley. That's one of the reasons why we love Finley. It's kind of, we would say it's kind candor, but in reality, it's just candor. So what I've been doing is having different people on. Lex did this. Dave Neville did this. Lots of people in the Zoo Crew are going to be kind of auditioning. And in January, I'm going to have a new co-host. What do you think makes you the perfect fit to be? Now, first of all, the All 15 podcast, the A15 that you and Lex do, that's not going anywhere. So I don't want people to think that's changing, because that's awesome what you guys do. The one with Clayton, if you haven't checked it out, please do. What makes you such a good fit to be my co-host?
I think, well, I just gave you a great example of, you never know what's going to come out of my mouth. I mean, I think
we do.
Well, no, I would say just the, you're going to get the real story and, you know, fully transparent, I would say, is a strong benefit of mine.
How many times?
Sometimes that's good. Sometimes that's bad.
I was going to say, how many times have you had a conversation with Jason, Vince, where you don't really know his position or where he's coming from?
There's very little ambiguity there. Yeah. You know where he's coming from.
He's pretty clear direct. I think listeners are going to like that, because they kind of want to have it. And what's the craziest thing you would do between now and January to make a statement that you would be the perfect co-host?
You know, it's funny. I've been thinking about this question as I've heard the others. And I don't remember what Dave's was. It wasn't all that great.
Well, because in Dave's defense, Dave is the only one who didn't get a chance to study for the test.
Yeah.
So Dave has an opportunity to take a mulligan on that.
Okay. And I heard Lex's.
Yeah.
Second attempt.
Lex is pretty crazy most of the time, so.
Not really. So it shows you that she'll go out on a limb for this. So it's tough competition. I don't think I would do anything super crazy, but I think that I'll say it right here. She's sitting right here. I don't think Lex will actually do it. So I'm not going to say something that I don't know that I'm going to do.
I mean, Dave did offer to name his fourth child after the ship show.
But I don't think Dave's going to have another child.
Yeah, you never know.
Yeah.
Never know.
So,
what would the craziest thing you do to be a host of the? You don't want to host the show. You're like,
no, not really. But I was going to say, Finley has kind of a East Coast bent to him, so I think he'd be a good balance to the team.
He does, but I have an East Coast bent. Good point.
I think we should set up a ship show golf event, and I will help to coordinate that.
He's a professional.
I'm a professional golf event planner. That's true. Vince got to experience a really good one.
I believe the two titles that have been thrown out is the King of the Boondoggle.
Yeah. Yep.
That has been thrown out. And the other one is the Least Charming, Most Connected Man in Golf.
So let's bring those things together and we'll have a hell of a good time.
All right. So now I'm going to get you to do something that I know you don't always love to do. Say something nice about someone else. If you are not selected to be the permanent co-host of the ship show. Look, you're always going to have a place in the ship show. I love doing the show with you, and like I said, the A15 is not going anywhere. If not you, Jason, who do you think would make a great co-host?
So let me start by saying, I think the best strategy for you would be to have a couple guest hosts. And I say that...
I tend to agree with this.
I say that because even you, right? So even if you say that you have a rotation of 3 to 4 consistent hosts, with all of our travel schedules, I think that makes the most sense. So that would be the one criticism of many of us, is that there's no chance we're going to consistently be able to do these. So with that being said, I think there are a few very interesting candidates. I think Browning would be an interesting one.
A lot of love for Matt Browning recently on this podcast. Also, a couple shots thrown at him earlier.
I think so. I think Browning would be good. I think Dave is going to have a place in a few other things he's going to be doing. You know, and he does a lot. Luke has a pod already. So, you know, there's not a lot of great candidates. I think Lex does a really good job when she's a part of it and brings a different personality and tone to it, certainly than I would.
Some would call that tone kind.
Yeah. She's much nicer
and
kindler and gentler than me, which is fine. So it depends on what people are looking for, really. Right. Yeah. But that's why I think if you mix it up and have 2 to 3 regular co-hosts, that would be the right strategy.
But has Lex played Band in Dunes 100 times?
No, I haven't played that 100
times. You know, I've never been to Band in Dunes.
Yeah.
Have you been to Band in
Dunes?
Never. Why don't we just go?
Yeah. I'll wait for Finley's invite. Although he did take me to Gosser, so.
I will say that Band in Dunes weather can't be worse than this. Doesn't matter what
that's
the worst
impossible
day is. All right. Last thing I wanted to get to is we had a wonderful, wonderful meal last night. People I've discovered like to hear kind of what we do when we're not working, which is a little scary. Mm-hmm. So Benita set us up at this wonderful place. Wasn't it Student Prince. Which, fun fact, a lot of people in there know Benita. So I take it wasn't her first time there.
That's a good guess.
The food was phenomenal. I don't know how many German restaurants I've been to outside of Chicopee, because I went to one last time when I was up here, or a mm-hmm. couple trips ago. The brats, the selection of various brats.
The sausage sampler was fairly
amazing.
There's not an avocado in that building, I don't think.
No, there wasn't an avocado or vegetables. Right. So poor Daniel Burns, who doesn't eat. He had the most pathetic-looking salad I've ever seen in my life. I felt bad for him. But where I think this place knocked it out of the park was in the dessert category.
Really?
So I'm not a dessert person, but I enjoy watching the dessert. So Joe House, you're going to get very jealous here. So almost everybody at the table ordered. They had a cookie, hot cookie in a skillet with a scoop of ice cream on it. Now, my golf club, Lomas, in California, serves the same thing, and they call it a ball in the bunker, because it kind of looks like a non-dimpled golf ball kind of sitting in the sand. Cliff had an adult milkshake.
Yeah,
I don't know what was in it.
Chauvinette.
But I think the Chauvinette.
Steve Ogg special.
Yeah. Yeah. But I think the winner in the dessert beverage category was Benita, D-Mob, who's here, and myself. We had the AKV.
Yes.
So what they basically, the description that the waitress did was so good that I had to order it. She goes, we take a honey liqueur, add an apple liqueur, and then we water it down with some Grey Goose.
Nice.
Any
Cut
drink
it with
that
some Grey
you
Goose.
Water down with vodka. Now, I would have preferred Tito's, but I tried it their way. Phenomenal.
Nice.
This thing was so good. So I'm going to be looking up that recipe. I might just ask Benita to ask her friends for the exact kind of, because it came out like in this golden kind of, it was like small little aperitif glass, beautifully displayed. Did I miss any of the other desserts? I don't know what else you guys had at the other end of the table.
No, I was still mesmerized by what was happening with Lex's drink.
Yeah, Lex had a little issue where she kept ordering a drink and they would bring her the wrong drink.
Okay.
And she wouldn't realize until about a quarter of the way in.
All right.
So that was interesting. And a lot of people had boots.
Yeah,
boots,
boot
of
beer.
Boots of your half and half.
Right.
And Trevor came up with this.
Yeah.
Trevor came up with this. You had to spin the boot because you want the toes away
Correct.
At certain points to avoid a bubble issue.
Right, because you panic if the toe's down and it ends up on your face.
Yeah, and then Ian was trying
to –
Ian was having some bubble issues. I'm assuming that's an across-the-pond UK, US,
okay.
Typical colonist-type behavior. So anyway, Vince, thanks so much for joining us on
Welcome.
Today's Ship Show. Thanks, Finley, as always, for being here. You guys make this trip that we do not often enough. Super fun here. Don't forget to listen to that Girls in Golf podcast. You will not want to miss this one. And we will be back Tuesday, back home in sunny, beautiful, temperate, mild Carlsbad, California with another Ship Show. Thanks, everybody.